Unit 4. Business Negotiation.
商务谈判.
Cross-cultural negotiation.
跨文化商务谈判.
New word.
Compromise.
2. Listen to a monologue and decide whether the following statements are true or false.
The increase in international business and foreign investment has created a need for executives with knowledge of foreign languages and skills in cross-cultural communication. Americans, however, have not been well-trained in either area and consequently have not enjoyed the same level of success in negotiation in an international arena as have their foreign counterparts. Negotiating is the process of communicating back and forth for the purpose of reaching an agreement. It involves persuasion and compromise, but in order to participate in either one, the negotiators must understand the ways in which people are persuaded and how compromise is reached within the culture of negotiation. In many international business negotiations abroad, Americans are perceived as wealthy and impersonal. It often appears to the foreign negotiator that the American represents a large multi-million dollar corporation that can afford to pay the price without bargaining further. The American negotiator's role becomes that of an impersonal supplier of information and cash. In studies of American negotiators abroad, several features have been identified. Two in particular that cause cross-cultural misunderstanding are directness and impatience on the part of the American negotiator. Furthermore, American negotiators often insist on realizing short-term goals. Foreign negotiators, on the other hand, may value the relationship established between negotiators and may be willing to invest time in it for long-term benefits. In order to better the relationship, they may opt for indirect interactions without regard for the time involved in getting to know the other negotiator. The increase in international business and foreign investment has created a need for executives with knowledge of foreign languages and skills in cross-cultural communication. Americans, however, have not been well-trained in either area and consequently have not enjoyed the same level of success in negotiation in an international arena as have their foreign counterparts. Negotiating is the process of communicating back and forth for the purpose of reaching an agreement. It involves persuasion and compromise, but in order to participate in either one, the negotiators must understand the ways in which people are persuaded and how compromise is reached within the culture of negotiation. In many international business negotiations abroad, Americans are perceived as wealthy and impersonal. It often appears to the foreign negotiator that the American represents a large multi-million dollar corporation that can afford to pay the price without bargaining further. The American negotiator's role becomes that of an impersonal supplier of information and cash. In studies of American negotiators abroad, several features have been identified. Two in particular that cause cross-cultural misunderstanding are directness and impatience on the part of the American negotiator. Furthermore, American negotiators often insist on realizing short-term goals. Foreign negotiators, on the other hand, may value the relationship established between negotiators and may be willing to invest time in it for long-term benefits. In order to better the relationship, they may opt for indirect interactions without regard for the time involved in getting to know the other negotiator.
New words.
Consequently.
Arena.
Persuasion.
Perceive.
Impersonal.
Interaction. 3. Listen to a conversation between a Chinese businesswoman, Ms. Hu, and a Canadian businessman, Dan Armstrong. Choose the correct answer to each question.
Good morning. Did you have a good sleep last night, Mr. Armstrong?
Yes, thank you. So, Can you give us an idea of the price of the dye of these three colors?
Oh, certainly. We offer prices according to the quantities purchased, and to some extent, they are also dictated by the complexity by which the product is manufactured. Therefore, our offer would be very much an approximation in this discussion period.
We know. We won't consider it as the final quotation.
The price also varies with different kinds of colors.
Could you explain why?
Well, Mr. Armstrong, different colors have different manufacturing processes. Different prices reflect the different complexity in processing.
What are the prices for brilliant blue, brilliant red, and bright black?
Brilliant blue would be about $16 per kilogram. For brilliant red, $48 per kilogram. And bright black, around $6 per kilogram.
So, brilliant red requires the most complex manufacturing process out of the three colors, because its price ranks the highest here.
That's right. Good morning. Did you have a good sleep last night, Mr. Armstrong?
Yes, thank you. So, can you give us an idea of the price of the dye of these three colors?
Oh, certainly. We offer prices according to the quantities purchased, and to some extent, they are also dictated by the complexity by which the product is manufactured. Therefore, our offer would be very much an approximation in this discussion period.
We know. We won't consider it as the final quotation.
The price also varies with different kinds of colors.
Could you explain why?
Well, Mr. Armstrong, different colors have different manufacturing processes. Different prices reflect the different complexity in processing.
What are the prices for brilliant blue, brilliant red, and bright black?
Brilliant blue would be about $16 per kilogram. For brilliant red, $48 per kilogram. And bright black, around $6 per kilogram.
So, brilliant red requires the most complex manufacturing process out of the three colors, because its price ranks the highest here.
That's right.
New words.
Dictate.
Complexity.
Approximate.
Quotation.
4. After reading the passage, compare the differences between Chinese and American negotiators. Then complete the table based on your understanding.
Goal of negotiating. The goal of negotiating refers to the purpose or intention of the parties in the negotiating process. Chinese negotiators, tending to take a relation approach to negotiation, have a fluid view of contracts and attach great importance to establishing a sustainable business relationship. The Chinese approach to the negotiating process is rather to establish a human relationship, often essentially dependent in nature. Therefore, their primary goal is to create the bond of friendship. The failure of relationship building often results in the abortion of transaction in the end. The contract, for the Chinese negotiators, does not mean finality, but a starting point. American negotiators, on the contrary, generally taking a transaction approach to negotiation, devote their energy and time to the deal itself and attempt to achieve the finalization of the deal. They, viewing the interpersonal relationship as incidental, or in some cases, partly instrumental to the negotiation process, think of the signing of a contract between the parties as their primary negotiating aim. They consider such a contract a binding agreement that outlines the roles, rights, and obligations of each party. This distinction in negotiating goals between Chinese and American negotiators can be illustrated by the description of an American executive for his first business trip to China. You have been waiting months to hear from the Chinese. Then, when you do, you know a whole team will help to prepare your presentation. When you arrive at the hotel, full of anticipation, your Chinese contact says, "How about visiting the Great Wall tomorrow?" So you agree, but then the next day it is the Ming Tombs, then the Forbidden City, the temple of heaven, and so on. You came to do business, and you expected them to be in a big hurry, and it turns out that they would rather spend time leisurely sightseeing and chatting. The American here has a big misunderstanding of his Chinese counterpart. To the Chinese, a business negotiation is a time to develop a business relationship with the goal of long-term mutual benefit. The key issues are the context instead of the content of the talks. Settling any issue is not as important as developing a harmonious relationship. Like what happened in the above-mentioned case, the Chinese negotiators demonstrated their hospitality for their guests with an aim of achieving the establishment of good relationship. To Americans, however, a business negotiation is a problem-solving activity, the best deal for both parties being the solution. They, as a result, view the relationship building as unnecessary. The collectivism, individualism cultures and being-doing orientation are central to the understanding of this difference in negotiating goals. Chinese culture is typical of a collectivist culture. Collectivism implies in-group solidarity, loyalty, and strongly perceived interdependence among individuals. Relationships are based on mutual self-interest and dependent on the success of the group. Collective cultures emphasize face, protecting others' self-image, and freedom from imposition. Confucianism emphasizes the importance of maintaining harmonious interpersonal relationships. In meeting this requirement, a person should act in accordance with external expectations rather than with their own internal wishes or desires. Emphasis on the establishment of relationship and social life is therefore mirrored when Chinese negotiate with their American counterparts. American culture, on the other hand, is a typical individualistic culture. The concept of individualism puts the self above all other else. Individuals in individualistic cultures are expected to take care of themselves, to attach greater importance to the individual identity over group identity, and individual rights over group obligations, the needs of the individual over that of the collective, the group, community, or society. Society is but a larger self. In individualistic cultures, a tendency exists to put task before relationship and to value independence highly. In summary, the Americans negotiate a contract, while the Chinese a relationship. For the Chinese, emotion and personal relations are more important than cold facts in business relations. Chinese do not separate personal feelings from business relationships.
New words.
Approach.
Fluid.
Primary.
Bond.
Finality.
Devote.
Finalization.
Incidental.
Binding.
Obligation.
Distinction.
Anticipation.
Tomb.
Hospitality.
Collectivism.
Individualism.
Collectivist.
Solidarity.
Imposition.
Mirror.
Individualistic.
Tendency.
Proper nouns.
The main tombs.
The forbidden city.
The temple of heaven.
Confucianism. 7. Read the passage. Decide whether the following statements are true or false.
Foreign currency agreement. When a negotiator embarks on an international agreement with a foreign partner, they have to give serious consideration to which currency is going to be used in their financial transactions. There is a certain amount of risk that a company might have to assume as the negotiators consider whether they are going to issue or receive payments in a foreign denomination. It occasionally happens that between the time when a contract is signed and when payment begins to flow, the currency of the foreign partner's company could either increase or decrease dramatically. Any company that handles foreign currency faces the hazard of paying more or receiving less than it projected. The risk increases proportionately in relation to the duration or longevity of the contract agreement. The value of any country's currency typically depends on supply and demand. Any currency is affected by various factors. This includes the rate of inflation, economic growth, the internal political stability of the country, and interest rates, just to name a few. Many newer countries use their central banks to allow their currency to rise and fall within a narrow band, and may peg their currency's value to a leading international currency, such as the euro or British pound. Back in the 1980s, a small U.S. company signed a long-term agreement with a Japanese manufacturer to purchase a brand of adhesive that was much cheaper than could be obtained in the U.S. The Japanese negotiating team persisted that they were to be paid in Japanese yen. The American company, eager to lock in this cheap supply of this particular adhesive, agreed. This meant that the U.S. company would now assume any risk in currency fluctuation for the Japanese yen. At the time the agreement was signed, the value ratio between the yen and the U.S. greenback was 185 yen to 1 U.S. dollar. For a whole, the U.S. company prospered even more as the exchange rate fell to 250 yen to 1 U.S. dollar. It was looking like a really good bargain. Unfortunately, the tide shifted the other way, and by 1988, the yen was valued at 140 yen to 1 U.S. dollar, much to the dismay of the U.S. company. Needless to say, the U.S. company began to lose money, and by this the company was jammed into being caught between the proverbial rock and the hard place. The U.S. company faced the additional burden in that they were facing such stiff competition from their competitors that they had no latitude to increase their prices. The agreement did not include any provisions to renegotiate the contract if faced with such a dramatic shift in the value of the rate of currency either, which was another serious drawback. A negotiator who conducts an international negotiation has four choices to make regarding foreign currency when cooperating with an international joint venture. 1. They can both share the risk. 2. The foreign partner assumes the risk. 3. Your side assumes the risk. 4. One or both parties stipulate in the contract that the currency denomination is an area open to renegotiation, allowing for a certain percentage of rate fluctuation to occur. Always remember that the longer the lifespan of the agreement, the greater the risk.
New words.
Assume.
Denomination.
Project.
Proportionately.
Stability.
Band.
Peg.
Euro.
Pound.
Adhesive.
Persist.
Fluctuation.
Greenback.
Prosper.
Dismay.
Proverbial.
Provision.
Drawback.
Stipulate.
Lifespan.
New words.
Slash.
Margin.
Prosperous. Business negotiation strategy.
商务谈判策略.
2. Listen to four extracts of negotiations. What is each conversation about? Fill in details under each category.
1. Okay, so we agreed to place an order for 5,000 pieces. However, we'd like a 10% discount.
Fine, we'll give you a 10% discount on this order.
Okay, so we agreed to place an order for 5,000 pieces. However, we'd like a 10% discount.
Fine, we'll give you a 10% discount on this order.
2. We can supply your order, but because you're a new customer, we would like you to pay in advance this time.
I'm sorry, but we're not happy about paying everything in advance. We can offer to pay 50%.
We can supply your order, but because you're a new customer, we would like you to pay in advance this time.
I'm sorry, but we're not happy about paying everything in advance. We can offer to pay 50%.
3. Okay, we agreed to buy 50 sets from you, and we agreed to the price. Can you deliver them by next month?
We can deliver them by next month, but we'll have to use air freight, and you have to pay the extra shipping costs.
Okay, we agreed to buy 50 sets from you, and we agreed to the price. Can you deliver them by next month?
We can deliver them by next month, but we'll have to use air freight, and you have to pay the extra shipping costs.
4. We'd like to order the number of items we have suggested, but we're concerned that we can't sell that many. If you allow us to return any units not sold within 12 months, we will agree.
I'm sorry. We don't normally allow returns. However, I can allow you to return within 6 months for this order only.
We'd like to order the number of items we have suggested, but we're concerned that we can't sell that many. If you allow us to return any units not sold within 12 months, we will agree.
I'm sorry. We don't normally allow returns. However, I can allow you to return within 6 months for this order only.
New words.
Extract. Extract.
Proposal.
Freight.
3. Listen to a passage. Fill in the blanks.
Business negotiation plays a very important role in conducting an export or import transaction. The conclusion of a satisfactory contract results largely from the careful business negotiation taking place between the exporter and importer. The negotiation is the dealing between seller or exporter and buyer or importer in order to reach an agreement on the terms with respect to quality, quantity, packing, price, shipment, insurance, payment, inspection, claims and disputes, arbitration, etc. Only when the parties all agree on the various terms consulted can the business be done and the contract of sales concluded. Business negotiation can be conducted through correspondence, telephone, cable or telex. Under normal circumstances, establishing business connections through correspondence is still widely employed. Business negotiation plays a very important role in conducting an export or import transaction. The conclusion of a satisfactory contract results largely from the careful business negotiation taking place between the exporter and importer. The negotiation is the dealing between seller or exporter and buyer or importer in order to reach an agreement on the terms with respect to quality, quantity, packing, price, shipment, insurance, payment, inspection, claims and disputes, arbitration, etc. Only when the parties all agree on the various terms consulted can the business be done and the contract of sales concluded. Business negotiation can be conducted through correspondence, telephone, cable or telex. Under normal circumstances, establishing business connections through correspondence is still widely employed.
New words.
Satisfactory.
Shipment.
Inspection.
Arbitration.
Correspondence. 4. Read the passage and match these sentences, A to G, with the tips, 1 to 10, given in the text.
Overcoming negotiation deadlock. When a negotiation is trapped in a deadlock, both of the two sides are still trying to find out some methods to solve the problem, but neither of them can find the right way to continue their negotiation. At this moment, you can change one of the elements to change the motive power of negotiation, and then you can create a new turning point. Besides the changing of the amount of money, you can do some other things like following. 1. Change the member of your delegation. Most likely, the lawyers would like to say, I must appear in court this afternoon, so my partner will take my place to continue the negotiation. The court may possibly be a tennis court. However, this is one of the ways to change the member of a delegation. 2. Change the time of negotiation. Suggest that you go on with your negotiation after lunch or dinner. A period of time for a stoppage can help both sides to readjust part of their subordinate principles. 3. To mitigate the pressure of your opponents and show your compromise, you can let the member who provoked the other side leave. 4. Talk about your opponent's customs, a tidbit, or an interesting story to ameliorate the tense atmosphere. 5. Find out about the possibility of changes on financial affairs. For example, enlarge loans, reduce earnest money of order, or adjust the condition of payment. All of these can be enough to change the motive power. 6. Discuss ways of risk sharing with the other side. If you accept the obligation, which may become unpleasant, you will cause their attention. 7. Try to change the atmosphere in the conference room. If the focal point, which can benefit both sides, was sunk to a low key, try to make it more competitive. If the negotiation is hard to control, try to open more channels to reach a win-win situation. 8. If you agree to accept arbitration when there is any controversy afterwards, your opponents may neglect divergence on suggestions. 9. If the benefit brought by the impellent of the success of cooperation is larger than the break of a negotiation caused by insisting on original principles, then giving suitable concession is the right tactic that you should take. 10. The requirements of specific negotiating occasion. Business negotiation is a complex process which involves many aspects. When your reply to some questions is beyond the limits of your authority, or when it is inconvenient for you to give a reply on some occasions of business negotiations, usually vague language should be used to deal with the situations. For example, 1. Your order is welcome. We'll try to see what we can do. 2. We'll get in touch with our manufacturers and try our best to advance the time of delivery. 3. We would give you our reply as soon as possible. 4. If your products are good in quality and reasonable in price, we'll place a large order at once. 5. Our foreign trade policy has always been based on equality and mutual benefit and exchange needed goods. 6. Concerning our financial position, credit standing, and trade reputation, you may refer to New York branch, the Bank of China, or to our local Chamber of Commerce. In the above sentences, the phrases "try to see what we can do," "try our best to advance the time of delivery," "as soon as possible," "place a large order at once," "based on equality and mutual benefit and exchange needed goods," and "you may refer to New York branch, the Bank of China, or to our local Chamber of Commerce," give indefinite information which has more flexibility and can be understood and explained in different ways. In order to give a concession which can satisfy both sides, you should know clearly the bottom line of yours and that of your opponents. Then, through continuous push and resistance to enlarge the agreement area, the deadlock might be broken successfully.
New words.
Overcome.
Deadlock.
Trap.
Motive.
Stoppage.
Readjust.
Mitigate.
Provoke.
Titbit.
Enlarge.
Focal.
Controversy.
Divergence.
Impel.
Concession.
Vague.
Chamber.
Indefinite.
Flexibility.
Resistance.
Proper nouns.
New York branch, the Bank of China.
Chamber of Commerce.